Hello, and welcome to our first SpudSmart webinar. Today, we'll be looking at tighter row spacings in potato production and how this practice can help improve yields and quality. My name is Mark Halsall, and I'm the editor of SpudSmart magazine and SpudSmart.com. Today, I'll be serving as your moderator. I'd like to thank our sponsor, McCain Foods, for its support. I'd also like to note a few housekeeping items. This webinar is being recorded and will be made available on SpudSmart.com within 48 hours following the event. For audio quality purposes, all microphones have been muted with the exception of the speakers. If you have a question or a comment, please share them in the chat box at the bottom left side of your screen and we'll make a note of them. Certainly welcome your thoughts. Today we have four speakers to talk about tighter row spacings in potato production. We're joined by Scott Graham, an agronomist with McCain Foods, based in Manitoba. Also Dr. Rhett Speer, an agronomist with McCain Foods, who's based in Idaho. We also have Dr. Mark Pavick, a potato specialist and associate professor, Department of Horticulture, Washington State University. Lastly, we have Sheldon Weeb, a potato producer whose farm, J.P. Weeb Limited, is located in McGregor, Manitoba. First off, here's a quick rundown on how things are going to go during this webinar. First, we'll hear from Scott Graham on how some producers in Manitoba have seen yield increases and improvements in quality by switching to narrow row widths. Then hear from Mark Pavick and Rhett Speer, who'll discuss how their study in the U.S. Pacific Northwest illustrated similar yield benefits with tighter row spacings. Following that, we'll wrap up with Sheldon Weeb, who'll talk about how moving from 38-inch to 34-inch row widths has benefited his potato operation. Let's go ahead and get started. Scott Graham has been working as an agronomist for McCain Foods in Manitoba for over 5 years. Last fall, he organized a meeting of McCain Foods Manitoba growers to talk about their experiences with tighter row spacing and potato production. Today, Scott plans to share some of the insights from that meeting. Over to you, Scott.
Thank you, Mark. This all started about a year ago right now. We started looking at yield influencing factors and opportunities in Manitoba with increased plant population. I'll give you a little bit of a background right now. Traditionally, Manitoba has planted wider row widths than other potato producing regions. Many Manitoba potato growers have been utilizing 38-inch row widths. Approximately 50% of our growers in Manitoba are on 38-inch row widths in 2015. Traditionally, shorter Manitoba growing seasons have been an obstacle for slower adoption with tighter row spacing. Now looking at increased yield opportunities. What we wanted to do was increase potato yield by increasing the plant densities. Reduced row widths do mean higher plant populations, which do contribute to higher yields. Moving from 38 to 34-inch row width does approximately give a 10% plant population increase. University research and grower experience has reported a 5 to 10% yield increase after adjusting from 38 to 34-inch row spacing. Expected changes to your farming practices due to higher plant populations are fertility and water. I will touch on that a little later in the presentation. Now moving into size distributions and quality improvement opportunities. Despite increased plant populations, we saw no changes in plant characteristics such as tuber number per plant, average stems per plant, and as well, average tuber weight. We did see changes in size distribution with fewer undersize, reduced oversize as well. Tuber defects, we did see reduced hollow heart and greening. Also, earlier row closure did provide early shading of the sides of the hill, which this did contribute to a reduction of sugar ends. This is some data from 2008 to 2014 that my colleague and myself, Rhett Speer, had looked at over those years. And as you can see, the size distribution with the less than 3 ounce did shift from 38 to 34. I will say that this data is not statistically significant. These are just trends that we looked at over the years where 38 to 34 inch row spacing was changed. You can also see with the greater than 12 ounce from changing from 38 to 34 inch row spacing, there was a reduction there as well too. Also the size distribution up the middle between 6 and 12 ounce did increase when you did switch from 38 to 34-inch row spacing. Now looking at reduced defects, during this period of time, we did see a reduction of hollow heart incidents and greening incidents move lower from 38 to 34-inch row spacing. Also, as mentioned, as growers moved from 38 to 34-inch row spacing, there was a reduction in sugar ends as well, too. We're just going to transition into some equipment changes, and we'll start with tractor changes that you will need to change or look at when going from 38 to 34-inch row spacing. More narrower tires will be needed, an example 380 or smaller. This is just to get up the furrows of the rows with the tighter row spacing. Also, cultivation equipment changes as well too. You will have to reconfigure your inner row spacing on your hilling equipment. This is just to follow suit with the planting changes that you've made. At the time, growers have not reported these changes being too difficult. More precise field operations are needed. This is just because there is less wiggle room for error as you're going tighter from 38 to 34. Your GPS should be maintained to be more accurate and making sure that there's no shifting in the equipment from side to side. Also at harvest, there's been some watchouts as well too, such as because you're that much closer to the neighboring hills, you will want to avoid catching vines from other hills as well as digging into the neighboring hills. Now talking about some agronomic changes, we're going to start with costs. Tighter row widths may have increased agronomic costs associated, such as increased seed requirement. This is just because you are putting down roughly 10% more seed per acre. When putting down more seed per acre, you will have to increase your seed treatment costs as well too, with your fungicide and your insecticide. Also, increased fertilizer due to higher plant population will have to be increased, as well as increased water usage just to feed the crop throughout the growing season because there is more plants per acre. There has been no observed changes in fungicide or herbicide costs, but we do say that there is a potential watch out for an increase in fungal diseases just because there's more higher plant populations. So increased scouting should be done to see if there's any more increased fungal diseases. Growers do report the benefits incurred from tighter row spacing do outweigh increased costs due to increased yield and as well as harvesting better quality. Now we'll transition into cultural management of tighter row widths. Closer attention should be paid to agronomic management, such as fertilizer and water management. This is more crucial because there is higher plant populations and you will have to feed the crop more. As well as after rainfall events, you may have to start up your irrigation sooner, and as well as making the first irrigation application, your hills may dry out sooner, so you may have to be more on top of that earlier in the spring. Pesticide application considerations. Sprayer tires may crowd the sides of the hill, and this may pull down dirt. This could contribute to sunburn. Deep ruts from tires also may accumulate water, and this could pose a disease threat. Traveling with the sprayer will increase compaction, and this will also increase bruising. I believe Sheldon is going to talk more about this on his slide deck. Alternatives may include use of aerial applications. So after your herbicide applications, you may want to pull your sprayer out of the field and look at using an aerial application for the rest of the season. Planting considerations. In-row seed spacing can be utilized to accommodate a shorter growing season. So if you have a later planting season because of rain, it would be ideal to move out your in-row seed spacing. Also, it is good to optimize your in-row seed spacing to match your seed size. If your seed size is bigger, just move your plants out a little more. Now talking about the take-home message. Considerations before going to tighter row spacing. Assess your growing areas. Not all soils are suitable for 34-inch row width. 34-inch growers have been successful on sandy, well-drained soils. There has been success, though, on 36-inch row width across all types of heavier ground. So there is a benefit from moving to 38 to 36-inch row spacing, regardless of the soil type. Also, communicate with other growers who have already made the switch. They can give you tips and advice on watchouts and their successes. It is also good to look at historical grade data and information. This can help you look at your oversize and your size distribution. It is also good to look at your farm soil type. Other sources of consultants are consultants, researchers, and other agronomists. I will now turn it back to Mark.
Thanks very much, Scott. If anyone has any questions for Scott or any of our other presenters, please feel free to type them in the chat box now and let us know who they're directed to. Try to make sure that our presenters have a chance to answer them at the end. Now we'll move on to Mark Pavick and Rhett Speer. Mark is an associate professor in the Department of Horticulture at Washington State University. He is a potato specialist and conducts applied agronomic and variety development research. He uses his research results to provide outreach to the potato industry, assisting them in their production and marketing efforts. Rhett has been working as an agronomist with McCain Foods based in Burley, Idaho, 2015. Before that, while he was a PhD student at Washington State University, Rhett assisted Mark with a study on different row widths in potato production. Mark and Rhett plan to discuss the findings of that study now, so we'll start this portion of the webinar with Mark. Over to you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark. This research was conducted in the Columbia Basin under full irrigation, so take that into account. I want to thank all the authors on this presentation. This was a big project and had a lot of help. The question is, are we as efficient with our land as possible? In the Columbia Basin, we plant on 34-inch rows, and the question is, are they too wide? And I couldn't find any literature to suggest why we were on 34-inch wide rows. So we wanted to conduct this research. And how did this differ by variety? And as you know, we need to be as efficient as possible anymore with tighter margins. The row width study across 2011 and 2015, so for 5 years, we wanted to look at a range of vine and growth types, like Alturas has a long full-season vine, and Narcota, which has a shorter early dying vine, and then everything in between there. So we looked at 9 varieties across time. I'm going to only report on the ones that were common during the years of the data I report. But we looked at Alturas, Burbank, Umatilla, Ranger, Chieftain, Teton, Yukon Nugget, Mountain Gem Russet. We did not focus on in-row spacing simply because we think we're at a in-row spacing that we think is the best for the area that we're in. We wanted to know at what point when we started moving the rows together, would the plants recognize that they were having competition, and did this change them in any way? So in 2011 and 12, we looked at 30, 32, 34, and 36-inch rows. And in 2013 and 15, we moved down to 28, 30, 32, and 34 after we decided 36 was way too wide, and we didn't hit the bottom with 30 during that time period. So potato seed does increase, as Scott mentioned. So with 28-inch rows, we'd be looking at 22,400 seed pieces per acre, and at 34 inches, 18,500. That will increase your seed costs from our 34-inch rows, and so I took that into account when I ran the economics. And this is at 10-inch in-row spacing with 2.5-ounce seed pieces at $20 a hundredweight. So if we look at the data, and I'm going to focus primarily on 2013 through 15 data because that's the one that had 28 through 34, and we also got more advanced. We had a potato commission bought us a GPS tractor, and we bought some new planters that helped us more easily with our row width adjustments. So this data, I think, is a little better than earlier data, but I will show you some of the earlier data as well. We did not see a decrease in tuber average tuber weight from 34-inch. Actually saw a peak somewhere between 30 and 32 inches, and at 28 inches, it was similar to the 34-inch. So no decrease, little increase, actually. Average tuber number per plant did decrease from 34 to 28, so at 34, we're about 8.8. tubers per plant, and that dropped down to about 7.2 at 28 inches. So these plants were recognizing the competition row to row. Green tuber number, 100 weight per acre, did not change significantly, and that was not a concern in the Columbia Basin with any of these varieties. They all responded the same across the 3 years there, 2013 through 15. So 2011 through 13, we saw from 34, so this is a comparison to 34-inch row, we saw an increase in total yield at 32 inches and 30 across all cultivars. And this was a good trend. And this is, you know, after the early data, we switched over to the 28. So we wanted to see how low could you go. So this was across all these cultivars. For 2013 and 15, when we averaged across all cultivars in those years, 13 and 15, 32-inch came out as the most stable across all varieties and years. When you look at this on a different type of graph, you can see that the peak was somewhere between 30 and 32 for total and market yields across 3 years and six varieties. And the total yield by size, so here we have total yield greater than 6 ounce yield, which is important for processing, and then greater than 16 ounce yield. So the large ones are in the blue. We didn't really see a decrease until about 28 inches, and even then it wasn't significant. This is across all the varieties listed on top there, 2013 through 15. And in the red there, that's the greater than 6 ounce yield. We might have seen a little peak actually at 32 inches, so no decrease from 34, which was good and interesting. Total yield, the same thing that I've been reporting previous to this. So when we looked at seed cost adjusted gross from 2011 to 13, we saw almost everything responded favorably down to 30 inches across those five varieties there. Burbank didn't like 32 inches in 2011 through 13, but I'll show you that change a little bit. So we saw good results early on. And as we moved into 2013 through 15, this is across seven varieties, 32 inches came out the most stable and the most profitable, taking into account the seed cost adjusted gross, and this was statistically significant. Some varieties did fine at 30. Altaris did good at 28 as well, so I think some varieties might do great at 28 or even less. But if you're trying to look for one row width, like we are in the Columbia Basin where we go with different varieties, we think 32 inches is probably good across all varieties. If people want to specialize in something like Chieftain or Alturas, then I can make recommendations based on that. But for an industry, I think 32 would be a good row width. And this shows you the seed cost adjusted gross for the process market across those 3 years and four varieties, which are processing Alturas, Ranger, Burbank, and Umatilla. And again, the peak is close to 32 inches. That's what I'm recommending for those varieties. This is the fresh market seed cost adjusted gross for Russet and Arcota. And again, the peak was close to 32 inches. And, and this is interesting that Russet and Arcota dies earlier, but yet it peaked out at 32, similar to what Alturas and Ranger, who have longer vines, did as well. Additional information, these things were not affected by row changes. Hollow heart, brown center, internal brown spot, tuber shape, black spot bruise, or shatter bruise. Take-home message, in the Columbia Basin, 32-inch rows appear to be the most favorable and stable. This research was conducted in Othello. Across years and varieties, all types of different vine types, it worked great. It should work well throughout the irrigated Columbia Basin. Other than irrigation and seed, growers should not need to increase their inputs per acre because we didn't, and we saw an increase. However, if they do manage the crop for what it is, and they, switch to 32-inch rows, even by, if they do apply a little more fertilizer or protectants or whatever, they might see even a higher bump than what we saw. But if they don't change anything and use the same rates of fertilizer across the whole field, they should see a good increase there. The majority of years, they should expect to see a net gain switching from 34-inch rows between 3 and 5% conservatively, about $100 to $300 an acre, and a 3% yield boost conservatively across all varieties tested. The move to 32-inch rows, if it makes sense for growers to do that, I indicated that they should try to plant strips or half pivots if possible. I know this is very difficult because you have to switch your equipment. So as long as you're switched, you may as well do it all the acreage in the same width. But definitely consider tractor tire width, because if you get too narrow, you might be crushing tubers. With GPS, you might be able to widen the drive row where the tires are. I don't know that that's a good thing because you're losing them from the advantage we might be gaining. However, I think at 32-inch rows, an 11 to 12-inch tire might be able to fit in through there well, and growers can put dualies on front and back. And equipment costs, you might want to depreciate out first and then switch. So use your diggers until they're run down and then switch if you have to change diggers. Equipment needs on other crops you need to consider. And you will make more passes through the field for tillage and planting, and you will haul more seed because you will be adding rows to your pivot if you have a pivot or your normal field. For every 16 34-inch rows, there are 17 32-inch rows. You'll gain about 58 rows within a typical 125-acre pivot when you switch from 34 to 32s. I wish to thank the Washington Commission for funding and all the people listed there for their assistance. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Rhett, we're now ready for your part of the presentation, so you can go ahead.
All right. Thanks, Mark. I'm going to shift gears a little bit and get away from the Columbia Basin, just to move a little bit closer to home up there in Manitoba. During the last year, and when Scott asked, he actually asked Mark to come and speak, but he was unavailable, so I went up there and we presented a little bit of data from the Columbia Basin. We also attached some data that we had been able to gather from the loads coming into the plants at McCain's in Manitoba. And I just wanted to show here a little bit, just some theoretical trends. These aren't based on data or anything, but in both plant population and yield, as you decrease the row width, you're going to see an increase in plant population, obviously, but also in yield. And I think this paints a pretty good picture of the possibilities if you were to adjust these cultural management. So this data came from McCain, just data that's been collected from trucks and loads going into the plant. From what I had, it was from 2009 to 2015, and you know the data I had showed that there was approximately 75 growers, but I could be way off on that. And there were 7 varieties. The data came from mid-August to September, and you know this is just kind of an exercise to see if we could see any kind of trends at all. So while the data, you know, didn't get any statistics run on it, it was averaged all together to see what we could see. And we didn't see any differences in specific gravity, so we can get that out of there right here at the first. Some of the plant characteristics that we did see, kind of like Mark showed in the Columbia Basin, there wasn't any real differences in the plant characteristics of stems per plant, tuers per plant, or average tuber weight. They tended to stay the same as the row width decreased. In terms of plant population, like we saw in that theoretical graph, there was an increase in the tubers per acre as we decreased the row width, as well as an increase in yield with a decrease in row width. And you can see that those R-squared values, those correlation values, are pretty significant for this data. Some of the advantages of changing your row width, we were able to see increased yields without changing the average tuber weight to the tubers per plant or stems per plant. And by increasing that competition between rows, like Mark was talking about, you know, we were able to get a competition, but we were also able to maintain the ability to adjust the in-row spacing, like Scott was talking about, to compensate for maybe a later planting date or different environmental factors. We still have that ability. A lot of these improvements were reported from growers who have made this switch in Manitoba. They saw earlier row closure, which potentially could lead to a decrease in defects like hollow heart, brown center, and green, and even sugar ends if you can get the shading on the hill a little bit quicker. As Scott was mentioning, there could be some extra expenses required. There could be some equipment, some tires, or changes that need to be made on planters and diggers, although a lot of reports are saying that, you know, diggers aren't a big deal. It's mostly the planters and maybe the tires on the tractor. There's the potential for some increased agronomic costs, depending on, you know, how the plants are able to take up the nutrients from the soil, how spread out the root systems can be. they potentially could use more fertilizer, as well as pesticide. The seed obviously would increase because you're planting more seed in the field. Like Scott was mentioning, there's a high possibility of these extra expenses being offset by the increased yields and quality that could be achieved. Also, the agronomy management could be a little bit different. The take-home message for this is that this data from Manitoba mirrored a lot of this small plot research that's been done in different growing regions, such as the Pacific Northwest. And while the two growing regions are drastically different, the trends seem to be the same. With that, we can increase the land use efficiency. You know, we can grow more food on less land, which seems to be where things are moving nowadays. The benefits have a large opportunity to outweigh the cost. So we can do this through increasing the quality and the size and normalizing the size distribution a little bit more. So with that, I'll send it back to Mark.
Thank you very much, Red and Mark. Again, if there are questions for our presenters, please be sure to type them in the chat box for the Q&A session at the end of the seminar. And just to let our listeners know, we are live tweeting during this webinar. Okay, now I'll turn things over to our final speaker of the day, Sheldon Weave, the Manitoba producer who, as we mentioned earlier, made the switch from 38-inch to 34-inch row widths 5 years ago. Over to you, Sheldon.
Thanks, Mark. Just to give a few reasons why we changed from 38-inch row spacing to 34-inch row spacing. Our farm name is J.P. Weeb Limited. We are located in McGregor, Manitoba, but we farm our potatoes on the Manitoba Escarpment, which is about 20 miles away from our farm. We grow 1,300 acres of processing potatoes on sandy loam soil. We primarily grow russet Burbanks, but also grow Umatilla russets and a few reasons why we changed row width. In 2008, we were offered an innovator contract. One aspect with this variety is the low tuber set per plant. So it was important for us to get the seed population up, as we were challenged with that with the spacing that we were at. So we wanted to go tighter to maximize yield and tuber uniformity. We were trying to increase yield, so we felt a narrow row spacing would help us to achieve the higher population. So in 2010, after 2 years of growing innovators, we changed from 38-inch row spacing to 34. We achieved more plants in the field and a better profile of potato size. Our yield, we feel, is better with 34-inch row spacing, and tuber profile is much more uniform. In our russet Burbanks, we feel that we saw an increase of yield between 5 and 8%, possibly more. There were a few different aspects that we feel that we've achieved as well with this is faster row closure. We're minimizing our sugar ends and maximizing plant surface area, hopefully achieve higher yields with our short season. Manitoba, we feel it's important to get that plant as big as possible soon. Seed space in row is between 13.5 and 14.5, depending on the time of planting. The later we are with, the wider we go in row. This has allowed us to have uniform tuber size in the Rust Burbanks, as well as we saw in the innovators. Other factors that we've noticed and reasons why we changed, we feel we have better efficiency use of the land. Seeing an increased yield, we are using fewer acres or increasing contract on the same acres, if available. With the costs and inputs of land costs increasing, it made sense to try and get more production per acre. We're seeing just a few pictures here of our uniform size and russets and our innovators. A few watch-outs. Guest row becomes very important to watch with the narrower row spacing. We've actually, when we use our GPS on our tractor, we have GPS steering on our planter as well. We trick our planter or the GPS system to say that our planter is wider than the actual planter, so that gives us a little more wiggle room on our guest row. Going to a narrow row spacing, we feel, is just one piece of the puzzle in growing potatoes. We feel we need to water earlier with the narrower row spacing, and also with more plants in the field, we need a little more fertility accordingly. Early planting really helps us to maximize all of those aspects. And as we, you know, things change, we do have a list of things that we just change on the farm to make sure that we're doing the best possible job. A few equipment changes. We were using the tire size of 380 metric, but it was what we were using before, so that wasn't an issue. One thing we make for sure on our farm is we straddle our rows as much as we can to minimize shoulder bruise. Harvesters are the same width, the digger bed, and as far as hilling is concerned, to move the filling equipment like Lilstons or dammer diking, we didn't take much to change them to 34-inch row spacing. Dammer diking we feel is essential in our soil type. We also use them to square up our hills to minimize greening and their issues with potato production. And we only changed our planter when the hill spacing. What we have learned, we've learned that this doesn't fix problems. If you have problems, make sure that you have all your agronomy and everything up to par to make things maximize your quality and yield. Sometimes I wish we had more than one season to try different things, like two or three, that would help us to possibly learn faster. More seed in the field doesn't fix a seed issue, so we always feel that good seed gives us a good chance to have a good crop. Better planter performance to improve tuber quality. A good seed bed preparation helps with overall plant health and tuber quality. Is this for everyone? I feel it's important to use all the tools possible to grow a good, consistent crop of potatoes. In saying that, good solid agronomy is important, and having great people to get the job done. It's important for us, and it's working for us, and I wouldn't go back to 34-inch row spacing, so I would, or to 38, but I wouldn't. I don't know if there's any areas that would not work with 34. Okay, thank you. Back to you, Mark.
Thanks very much, Sheldon. If you have questions for Sheldon, please type them into the chat box now. Great job by all of our presenters today. So we'll now commence with the Q&A portion of our seminar. I'll start things off with a question that we have for you, Scott. Namely, how was the grower response since the McCain grower meeting last fall in terms of uptake and adoption to changing row widths?
I was actually surprised in the response, and I believe we've actually have created a movement here, because we're nearing almost 20% that has changed. I believe it's 18% to date. We are tracking the numbers currently right now as we're visiting growers on farms. But I was surprised with the amount of guys after the meeting that came up and told me and called me in weeks as well, too. And also the three growers, John Goff and Wayne Dirksen and Sheldon, that had presented that day on their farm successes from 38 to 34 or 38 to 36, they were surprised with the calls they had also received. So, no, it's been good, and I was surprised at the amount of guys that went from 38 directly to 34. So it has been good. Also, guys that have went from 38 to 36, they're going to try that out for two or three years, look at their grade data information, and possibly look at going to 34 overtime. And then you have the group of growers that their neighbors have made the switch to 34 this year, and they're going to watch them and see how they make out and possibly make the change next year. And then the other comment I'm hearing as well, too, is we're just waiting for our equipment to depreciate out, and then we'll look at making the change.
Thanks, Scott. We actually have another question here for you as well. Why do you feel heavy soils could be a concern with narrow spacing?
Some of the comments that I was hearing from the growers on the heavier soil is that they were worried about traction. So that was just kind of one of the things that I wanted to throw out there and just make sure that they had the right traction. And then as well, too, some heavier soils, you are a little more prone to planting later, because you will get some surprise rain events. So maybe caution them there and go to 36 and then see how that works for two or three years before you go to 34.
Thanks, Scott. I have a related question now for Sheldon. It is, would you think non-irrigated production on heavier soils, i.e. clay loam, would have less favorable results?
Yeah, I think we don't grow any potatoes without irrigation, so I can't really comment on that, but I just feel that with more plants in the field, you will require more moisture, and therefore You probably won't see the benefits if you go to a 34-inch without the irrigation.
Another question for you, Sheldon, is what do you use for seedbed preparation?
In our soil type, what we do is in fall we dam or dike and ridge hill so that we have a nice loose soil going into winter, and if we have any clods, they freeze out. And then in the spring, we use either a field cultivator or a unit called a Conskilde, which is a breaks up clods a little better than a regular cultivator. But we try to go as deep as we can to maximize the room down for our tubers to grow.
I'm not sure if this is a question for Scott or Sheldon, but one of our listeners has pointed out that with narrower widths and high fertility, the canopy can settle down and thereby increasing the risk of diseases like white mold, bacterial stem, and soft rot developing. Do you agree, and what can be done to mitigate this?
You want to answer that, Scott, or you want me to?
I'll let you answer that, Sheldon.
Okay. Well, what we've done on our farm with innovators and with Umatilla russet, they're more of a determinate plant, and the plant size is not as great, so that concern isn't as big a deal there. But with the russet Burbanks, we do a lot more fertigation on our farm, so we try to minimize the canopy without affecting the cover of the canopy on the ground. So we don't want to see really long, lanky plants. So we've been able to achieve, for the most part, we haven't seen any extra issue with going a little narrower with that. So fertilizer timing is very important.
Okay, thanks very much. I have a question now for Dr. Pavic. Could you achieve the same yield and size impact by increasing the within row spacing for a fixed row width? In other words, what is the influence of spatial change versus plant population per acre?
Yes, you can increase your row in-row spacing, but at some point you're going to start decreasing your average tuber size. And if you have a contract that specifies greater than 6 ounce or greater than 10 ounce tubers, at some point you're going to start seeing a decline in those tubers. This is where row width comes into play. So what you should try to optimize is not only in-row spacing, but your row width. So together, I think you have to look at this as a combination. And I stray away from plant population recommendations because when we do research, we're very precise about in-row spacing and row width numbers. So we have the actual inches. And I've seen previous research talk about plant populations, and they said, well, you know, if you have 20,000 plants per acre or whatever, that's good enough. But it isn't. I don't care about plant population in as much as I want you to be more aware of your in-row spacing and your row width. So, yeah, you can try optimizing in-row spacing if you think you're too wide right now. But at some point, you're going to run out of room there, and you're going to have to look at row width as another option.
Thanks very much, Mark. I've got another question now for Scott, and that is, wouldn't you get less water wastage between the rows with the tighter row spacings?
I believe so. I think Mark Pavic has some information on that, and Rhett from their water efficiency use that they've done out of Idaho and Washington that I'll let them talk about that on.
Yeah, I'll comment on that. We use neutron probes to look at our soil moisture on a regular basis. And the first couple of years of our study, we didn't change our irrigation management different than what we were doing for 34 inches. So these yields that increased were actually the result of the same water we were using for 34-inch rows. So this indicated that perhaps we weren't using our water as efficiently because we didn't have enough plants per acre there. That's where I will use plant population as a term. But the 1 year, 2014, I didn't show you, we actually got too dry in our tighter row width, and we had a reduction in yield. But average crossed years, we saw an increase in yield. So the last year we did it, in 2015, we made sure we had moisture monitors in the tighter row widths as well as 34 inches, and we got good results that way. So it depends on the year, but yes, definitely if you increase plants per acre, you're going to use more water. And that may or may not make a difference in your system depending on how you water.
Thanks. I have another question for you, Mark. And that is there any data available on seed fields versus bed planting with respect to tighter row spacing?
So I'm not sure I totally understand that question. We've looked at beds versus rows, and if this is for seed production where people are trying to get a certain size tuber, one reason people plant into beds is because they're trying to crunch the rows together as tightly as possible, and it's more convenient. So that's between the tire tracks of the tractor. You're trying to get as many rows together there as you can, and it's easier sometimes just to put it into a bed if you're trying to get small tubers. Some things that the bed does, it can be more efficient with water, but it can also be too wet at the end of the year. It also acts as an insulator, so early in the spring you may not get emergence as you would in a row where you have the hills, because it's not heating up as fast in the center of the bed. There's advantages and disadvantages to both. I don't think we have time in this discussion to go over those, but what I have been recommending to growers in the Columbia Basin is use a combination of a modified bed row system, so you're not a total bed in that you still have some furrows in between your rows, but you have your dam or dike pits to hold your water. And we use dam or dikers because we, you know, get runoff and we don't want that to happen. It also helps loosen the soil in between the seed pieces. So we, you know, if you look at the final field that, or the final field preparation here in the Columbia Basin, it looks like a modified bed. So it's a combination of rows and beds together in that our furrows are not really deep, other than we do shank them with a ripper to break up the compaction.
Yeah, I think we have time for one last question. This would be directed, I suppose, to either Scott or Sheldon. When you speak of increasing fertilizer rates going to narrow rows, is it a straight line correlation, i.e., when you increase plants by 10%, does that equal increased fertility of 10%?
I'll take that, Scott.
Okay.
I don't think that it's a direct correlation. I think you still have, with more plants in the field, you will have a better efficiency of take-up. Your roots will probably go a little farther, so you might be able to be a little more efficient. So I would be very careful with that, saying that it's exactly a science that way. So what we do on our farm is we variable rate every acre so that we have the most efficient fertility use possible, and then we would just adjust according to our soil sampling results to accommodate for that little extra seed in the soil.
All right. Thanks very much. That's all we have time for today. I want to thank our speakers for making time in their busy schedules to share their insights and expertise. I hope that everyone has found this information valuable. Again, I'd like to thank our speakers, Scott Graham, Dr. Rhett Spear, Dr. Mark Pavick, and Sheldon Weeb. Thanks very much. I also want to pass on a very big thank you to our sponsor, McCain Foods, for its support. I also want to quickly thank our team working behind the scenes for their dedication to making this a successful event. Thank you to Jill Halassi, our Director of Digital Strategies, Roy, our Marketing Manager, Caleb McDonald, our Senior Web Designer, and Teresa Kurgowitz, our Graphic Designer. This presentation will be made available online at spudsmart.com within 48 hours. Thanks, everybody, again for your attention. And on behalf of the team here at SpudSmart, we hope you have a great rest of your day.